can step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cups. Here's to this moment, it will never happen again.
This is Off Stage and On the Air, performance number 451. I, as always, am Lisa Sheps. I am joined by Nicole Shiro.
Hello.
Nick Alone, as we like to call her. Nick Mayo is not here. He's on vacation. You are listening to us on KOOP HD1 HD3 Hornsby. And as always, this is streaming live on KOOP.org. Don't go away.
Hurry, hurry, step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Step right up. Feast your eyes on the wonders of this world. Oh, yeah.
If you want to get my head.
It is Wednesday, February 7th, 2018. On the show today, we have our very dear friends at Jarrett Productions and their production of The Father. And later on, we'll be talking to Bat City Bombshells in the 10th annual Anti-Valentine's Day show, among others. And of course, we'll have lively views, news, and discussion about the world of theater in Austin, New York, Las Vegas, Chicago, and Peoria, Illinois. Don't go away.
Now, I'm known the world over as the thinking man stripper.
I am the thinking man stripper.
Are you?
I am.
Is that
am.
Your sorority name?
It is. It was my sorority name in college. How did you know?
I had a feeling.
Well, so that was, and we're going to talk about that in a little bit after I say hello, but that was from a show called February House. You heard of it?
No.
Okay, well, we're going to talk about it in a second. But before we talk about it, I'm going to check in with Nicole Shiro. Hi, Nicole.
Hello, Lisa. How are you?
I'm good. What's new? Pussycat. Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Pussycat, pussycat, I love you. Yes, I do. Do
you know you that? And your pussycat.
If you play that in the car when
backwards,
you're stuck
it
in
says John
no,
is dead.
When you're stuck in like angry traffic, you cannot be angry. I always have a little Tom Jones on reserve for that.
There you go.
Just that's good. One of my secrets. That's no, you good. Can't get road rage with that on. I don't
just
know
keep
why.
Bobby McFerrin's Don't Worry, Be Happy.
No, that would drive me nuts and give me road rage. But that's okay. Well, different strokes for different folks.
It's good we're back together. We're missing Mr. Nick Mayo. He's out on vacation somewhere.
He's on the high seas.
Oh, he's on the high seas.
He is.
He's on a cruise.
He is.
Oh, la la la. I did not know that.
He and Michael are.
Lovely. Well, he is missed, but we are here together for the first time in a while. Last week, I did for the very first time a show that was different format than we've ever done before here on the air. We've been on the air for almost 10 years.
Isn't that crazy?
And so I pre-recorded the show. None of us were available, and I played the entire cuts of certain songs, and I got some very positive emails on
it.
People
liked it. Yeah, I thought it was kind of exciting.
Yeah, it was a little different, and so it was fun. It was sort of fun to do. And it was nice to hear these songs.
You didn't want my help.
I didn't want
your
help. I
asked if I could help.
You did.
You didn't want it.
I didn't want to do it all by myself.
You sounded like I didn't want to play.
Yeah. Nope. I just did everything myself. I want to thank Kim Simpson and another wonderful international folk bazaar. Let's introduce the folks that are here with us in the studio. We have Miss Ara Vega. Hi, Ara.
Hello. How are you?
We have Miss Dolce Dream.
Hello, hello.
The incomparable Amber Quick.
Hello.
Mr. Rick Romer.
Hello.
And David Jarrett.
Hello, hello.
Of Jarrett Productions, oddly enough. That's a coincidence, isn't it?
It worked out just fine. And ironic, by the way. Yes.
And ironic, all of the above. So the song I sang that we came in with was from a show called February House. And it was an off-Broadway show at the Public Theater in 2012, and I had never heard of it
recent?
Before.
That recent?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah, I'd never heard of it before.
Curiouser and curiouser, says Alice to the Caterpillar.
Yes.
Tell me.
It was written, the music was written by Gabrielle Kahane, and it had banjo music. It was a
bluegrass?
Bluegrassy, kind of, but not quite. It was more haunting kind of of music. And the star was Christian C., who I don't know. And it tells it's February House. It tells the account of an experimental and communal living in the early 40s with a whole bunch of very famous and real people. One of which is Carson McCullers, who wrote this book. And she's also a character in it. Everybody's nodding.
Yes, everybody's nodding.
And so I just had to say that because it's radio. Yeah. People can't see. But here are the people that lived in this Victorian house in Brooklyn Heights. W.H. Auden, who was played by Eric Lochtfeld, and his lover Chester Coleman, played by A.J. Shively. The composer Benjamin Britten, played by Stanley Borick. And the singer Peter Pears, who was played by Ken Barrett. Also, George Davis, Erica Mann, and the artist daughter of Thomas and Gypsy Rose Lee. It is Gypsy Rose Lee. It was played by Casey Sheck. So it sort of tells the story of this
true.
It was, I think it was a 3-month or 6-month living situation of all these really famous people. The review that I read in the Times that was by Brent Brantley was not terribly good, but even after reading this not so good review, I wanted to see it. I went through the music just to see. I chose it because it said February, by the way.
Got it.
Speaking of irony.
And this is our first show of February. And so I just was punching through the different music and deciding which one I wanted to play. And I just liked it. So that's why I did it.
I liked it too. That was cool.
I would see it.
I like the idea of all of those artists living in the same house.
Yeah.
Like, you know that house was haunted as you know what.
Yeah. It sounds like something that somebody should do here in Austin.
Mm-hmm.
It's not right for ground floor theater, but another theater should do that. I'll just throw that out there. I'm sure the rights are available.
It's interesting. It's like a bunch of people from the Chelsea Hotel meet a whole bunch of people from Yaddo. It's that weird artist meld. That's kind of cool.
I don't know what Yaddo is.
Yaddo?
Yaddo is what happens when I step on a tack or something. I go, Yaddo!
Yaddo. Yaddo is an extremely, extremely old, beautiful, still open artist compound in Saratoga Springs, located right next to the track.
Right where you live.
Georgia O'Keeffe. Many of the paintings that you know from there were all painted in here. They take writers, poets, artists, actors, dancers.
You've talked about this
before. You have to apply and you get
to be accepted. Is Yaddo an acronym? And what does it stand for?
I don't know.
It is.
To be honest with you, I've always just known it as Yaddo in my whole life.
Okay. Well, the...
beautiful
the
gardens you can visit.
Excellent. And I will. I will. So the Helen Hayes Theater, the smallest Broadway house in New York, has reopened. Mm-hmm. And there was this lovely article in the New York Times, written by what's his name, Michael Paulson, that tells the whole story of the reopening. And it is Second Stage Theater. It's the nonprofit. So now 6 of the, I think, 43 theaters on Broadway are now nonprofits.
Right.
And this this theater is 589 seats. So it's teeny.
I know. It's like.
And it's just me. So to be Broadway, it's got to be over 500 seats.
Mm-hmm.
So it just makes it.
Just makes it. Which makes it just a gem.
And it used to be called the Little Theater. It was built in around the turn of the century, but there's beautiful pictures in here. The walls are painted in this pixelated kind of tapestry feel. And again, there'll be a link to this, and this article has just loads of pictures, lots and lots of pictures, and these beautiful copper-colored seats that they put in here in the renovation. And it's just, it's really pretty. I remember when they renamed it in the early 80s.
I was like 80.
From the Little Theater to the Helen Hayes, because were you in New York in the 80s?
Mm-hmm.
Because they tore down the Helen Hayes to build the Minskoff. They tore down two Broadway theaters, old Broadway theaters, to build the Marriott Marquis with the Minskoff Theater in it. And I was one of the people that was saying we should do it because we need a new modern theater. And I regret that. I regret that because the Marquee is...
It's an interesting space. Yeah, I know.
So, anyway,
although you can cut through the street now with that
No, you can't. They're, so the
with
part
the,
of it
the little drive you can.
They're going to they're getting rid of that because it's being with the theater that Frozen is going into, the Imperial is taking over that alley to make the stage bigger.
Okay, well, oh. For a decade or two, you used to be able to cut through the block, and it made it easier when you were going from one show to another. But so that's a bummer.
It's a $64 million renovation, of which they haven't the 83% has been raised so far. It's very interesting. So it is going to be called the Haze, which is going to be renamed as soon as a donor steps up to buy the naming rights.
Well, Lisa, there you go. You wanted it to be named after you. You have a little cash put aside for a rainy day. Like, there you go.
I think I will. And the
wait, let me do it for you. Let me just
hold
on.
Please, thank you. So the Second Stage Theater Company does work for this theater is going to be doing works by Living American Playwrights. They're opening with Kenneth Lonergan's Lobby Hero, which starts previews on March 1st, which is right around the corner, and opens on the 26th. Zingity dingity.
Cool.
Do go to offstageonair.com and check out this article, and you'll see all these pictures. They're just beautiful, beautiful pictures, and I'll just pass this around to the studio audience here.
And if you're really looking for it now and you don't have time to go back later, you can enter your email on the right in the little box, and it'll get sent to you later on.
Automatically. So who wants to... How was that? Oh my. Okay, that's good. Who wants to play a game?
Yes.
We'll play a game. Okay, so we're gonna do this, and I'm just
gonna... We haven't done games here in a while.
We
gamed in quiz.
This is the Broadway booze game.
Oh.
Okay.
Without the booze.
Two of my favorite
things. This is the Broadway booze game, and I'm gonna start with...
You go.
On
Just go.
I'm
cheering you.
She said, "Don't collect 200."
I'm
going to
pick on David.
Go.
This thing just the computer just turned off, and I'm trying to turn it back on.
In that case, I win.
No, okay. So this is going to see how well you know the drinking habits on some shows. So I took this test earlier today. I got 50% right.
Oh.
All right.
Oh wow.
So I guess part of this is you have to know musicals very well. So. Watch out. Right. So
does
who
it count
drinks?
If I've been drinking already today?
It helps.
Okay, good.
Who drinks multiple Dolce? Actually, I should have given this to Dolce. Who drinks multiple Dolce de Leches on a date? Was it Marion Peru and the Music Man, Charity Hope Valentine and Sweet Charity, Fran Kublik and Promises, Promises, or Sarah Brown and Guys and Dolls? Amber knows it.
I'm going to go with B.
Nope, yep, yeah, wrong. Oh. D. So you don't win.
I knew I should have had more to drink. Off.
I want to know who was boozing before they played the game.
Me. I have to pick it, and then we'll go to the next one. All right, so it was Sarah Brown when she's in Havana with, what's his name?
Sky Masterson,
thank you. Okay, Rick Romer.
Did I win?
Who has no strong objection to champagne? Is it Angelica Schuyler from Hamilton? I don't know how to pronounce this. Cunegonde from Candide? Ella from The Apple Tree or Usnavian in the Heights?
I'll guess The Apple Tree.
You'd guess wrong. It was Cunegonde and Candide in the song Glitter and Be Gay. All right, Amber, you ready?
Ready.
Okay, here we go. This, by the way, to give credit to it, this is a quiz on playbill.com. I did not do this myself. who could conquer the world with half a chicken and a bottle of bourbon? Do you know
me.
It?
Me.
Is it Kate from The Wild Party, Molly Brown from The Unsinkable Molly Brown, Maureen from Rent, or Queenie from The Wild Party? I don't know which Wild Party. You know, there are two.
Oh, gosh, right?
That had to run at the same time on top of it.
So what were the two Wild Party?
Kate from The Wild Party or Queenie from The Wild Party?
Oh, okay. I'm going Queenie.
Queenie. I think you might be right. Nope, that was Kate.
Kate.
Look at me now. She says, give me a bottle of bourbon and half a chicken and I'll conquer the world. So that... They're in. Okay, so.
So far, Jarrett Productions is doing really well.
All right, Dolce, right? Am I getting your name right? Yeah, okay.
Yes.
See, I should ask you the Dolce. Who orders, I knew this one. Who orders another vodka stinger while people watch at the club? Was it Nina in The Heights? The Drowsy Chaperone in The Drowsy Chaperone? Joanne and Company? Or Nikki and Sweet Charity? All these people know.
I was about to say, the only one I've known so far.
I know.
And I love musicals.
D?
Nope. Sorry. It was Joanna from Company.
Another vodka stinger.
That's right. From the ladies who lunch. Come on. All right. Okay.
Can we just do our best Elaine Stritch impressions for the rest of the show?
Yeah.
Does anyone still wear a hat? You got to be down here, David. Your voice is even mine isn't low enough.
Okay. So final question. Oh, no. Well, I'll go all the way to Nicole. So this is for Vega. Who drinks Long Island iced teas at the Around the Clock Cafe?
God, hopefully no one. I know this one.
I know it too. Is it Joanne from Rent, Kate Monster from Avenue Q, Hildy from On the Town, or Margot Channing in Applause?
God, is it B?
It is.
Woo!
Yay!
That was so random. I just threw one out there. I did not know.
And finally, Nicole, who's saving their best champagne for their funeral? Is it the Dowager Empress from Anastasia? Yenta from Fiddler on the Roof? That sounds like Yenta. Madame Armfelt from A Little Night Music? Or Millicent Winter in Nice Work If You Can Get It?
I don't know. I have
think Sondheim.
I was about to say it sounds like it's Little Night Music, isn't it?
It is. Ding ding ding. Well, we did pretty good. We did 50%. Wow. And if I had asked myself one, I would have gotten it right because I'd already taken it. Okay. Time check. All right, we're good. So we had a couple of things here. What's his name? Taylor Trench started in Dear Evan Hansen early.
Ah, really?
Yes, he did it on January 30th. He surprised the people, and he started his run, and
surprise!
About a week early. Mm-hmm. That's it. That's the end of the story.
Surprise! I was surprising. Surprise!
But it's funny. I was listening to one of the podcasts I listened to. First of all, the Broadway grosses, they universally did not do good last week, but that's typical. But one of the guys who was talking about it was talking about how everybody seemed to think that when Ben Platt left the show, that it would fall, that the attendance would fall. And I never believed that to be the case because Ben Platt is well known by theater people and people that watch Pitch Perfect, but that's about it. To me, the thing about the show was the show.
The story and the show and the music. No, I was on the same page as you. Yeah, I'm like, what do you mean it's going to stop? That's silly.
So this is our third Evan Hansen with Ben Platt. Taylor Gavlin. Whatever his name is, Gavlin, and now Taylor Trench. What a great name, Trench. You know, you could just dig a trench and fill it right back in again.
Yes, you can.
Ba-dum-bum.
Ba-dum-bum, ba-dum.
All right, what else? Speaking of people that are in shows, they think they found a Judas. It hasn't been announced.
I saw that.
I don't know this person. Do you know him? Louis Fonsi?
Yeah. Desperado. You get that the Despacito? That song hasn't stopped on the radio
all the time.
Yes.
Yeah. That's
Despacito
for the big,
guy.
Like, for rock,
this is the April 1st Easter Sunday
live version of Jesus Christ Superstar.
With his name? Alice Cooper.
Alice Cooper is Herod.
Right. Wow. Right.
Sarah Bareilles is playing Mary. Mm-hmm. And John Legend has been announced as Jesus. And it's going to be set in modern time. It's going to be like, they're going to do kind of, remember how the movie, they had the tanks? They're like, they're going to be doing kind of abstract-y.
How did they do those tanks again?
No, the tanks on the rocks were kind of kicking. I mean, odd, but kicking. Mm-hmm. I saw an interview with Sarah and Justin and John last week. It was so funny. They're like, aren't you nervous? It's live. And I was like, did someone really just ask two musicians? Yes, they did. And he goes, no, not at all. This is what we do. I was like, hello.
Well, and also Sarah Bareilles has a pretty long history of being in a show on Broadway. Right.
Yeah, but the whole live rock concert, it's like... She's also had a decades long before Broadway doing that. So I was kind of like, that was a...
So did
Savannah Guthrie was a very bad question.
Savannah Guthrie. I like Savannah Guthrie.
Very bad question.
So I did not realize, and you may have known this, some of the other Judases, of course, we know Ben Vereen. But did you know that Tim Minchin was Judas.
Hello, I love me some Tim.
I know.
He was
I
also
did not know that.
He was also in Rosencrantz and Guildenstern Are Dead, and he apparently was like off the chain on that one, and I can see that too. Yeah, there's a lot of things Tim Minchin has done I haven't gotten to experience, and I'm sad.
So in the same article, that this was a Michael Riedel article that talked about this, but in the same article, he talks about a show called Goldstein, which I've not heard about, by Michael Roberts, the songwriter Michael Roberts and the playwright Charlie Schumann. And it's a tell-all memoir. The title character is, it's about a tell-all memoir about his family. It becomes a bestseller and his family turns on him. And it says, it's like Rags mixed with a touch of Fiddler on the Roof.
Oh, that's an interesting combination.
So it covers 90 years of Jewish immigrant experience in New York. Begins performances in March at the Actors Temple Theater. So that's
interesting.
Yeah, yeah, we'll just keep our eye on that. The Goldsteins. Mm-hmm. I lived next door to the Goldsteins for a while.
Mm-hmm.
I did in my days in Houston. Okay.
Sit with them at football.
You don't. Well, oddly enough, the Goldsteins owned Shep's Dairy in Houston.
Huh. But they're not related.
Yeah, no relation.
They had two peas, and I did meet the grandfather, Shep's. He looked like Grandpa from the Munsters. With the
Yeah.
So you actually put this in our folder, and I think this is great. I did not know about this. The Falsettos tour.
Didn't you? Isn't that? Yes, I did. I did put some things in there.
So this production of Falsettos, this is the latest production of Falsettos, which was excellent. Anybody else see it? Wasn't it amazing?
It was amazing.
And Stephanie J. Block was just like...
I was there the night they filmed it, actually. For
PBS. You were?
Yeah. Oh, okay. That's pretty cool.
Awesome. I thought that was just a wonderful thing. And then three of the four leads were up for Tony's.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, there's going to be a tour of it, directed by James Lapine, and they did not mention a set. I mean, a set. I read set. A cast yet. But they did mention some cities, and the closest city that we get is Dallas.
I saw Dallas, yeah.
Yep. Let's see. So it opens at San Francisco at the Gate Theater in March 2019. Excuse me, you got to wait a year. The Amundsen Theater in Los Angeles, St. Paul, Minnesota, Dallas, Texas, and Charlotte, North Carolina. You have to say it that way. State law. I could be arrested if I didn't.
I love you, Lisa Sheps.
So the other thing that I found interesting, I think this is another, it's another Michael Riedel article about Tu Wong Fu becoming a Broadway musical.
Yes, they've been working on this for a while.
Well, but I think this is interesting. So when the film came out in 1995, the guy that wrote it, Douglas Carter Bean, thought he actually started out writing a theater piece, but he couldn't figure out how to deal with the car, so he decided he switched to a screenplay. After it was all over, he decided to buy the rights for the stage rights for it. And the way he describes it is nobody was doing all these movies back then.
Mm-hmm.
And they thought they were like, oh, okay, sure. And I want to read what he said. It was sort of cute. I didn't have it in here. But anyway, they thought it was like just throwing this little writer a cookie here to get them up. But laughs on them. Everybody's been trying to get the rights, but he's got them, and he's going to make something happen. He's staging a workshop this week. He's directing it. So that's going to be sort of cool.
Mm. I love me some.
It'd be cool if Wesley Snipes and John Leguizamo were in it.
They aren't, but Daniel Breaker, Alice Ripley, and Anna Harada and Annie Golden are in this workshop.
I didn't say anything, so I thought I had saw something where Alice's name was tied to
I'm
it.
Sorry,
so that's
forgot about
kind of...
Santino Fontana.
Fontina.
No.
Right?
Santino Fontana.
three times fast.
Alice is kind of perfect. Yeah.
Yeah. There you go. Alice Ripley of
Sideshow.
Sideshow
everything.
Fame.
I mean,
exactly.
She's other things, but Sideshow, she was everything.
My Fair Lady begins previews on March 15th. They announced the rest of the cast. This is Lauren Ambrose, who's playing
Eliza.
Diana Rigg is playing Mrs. Higgins. Norbert Leo Butts is Mr. Doolittle. And Harry Haddon Batten, who I believe is a British actor and not very well known here, is playing Henry Higgins.
just too white for this.
And it's almost as good as stepping time, so...
It is. It's the same. It's the same Cockney accent I use for everything. So that should be interesting. How do people feel about Lauren Ambrose playing that role? There's been some controversy.
I have...
Anybody?
I haven't lost any sleep over
it. No, I haven't lost any sleep
over it. I'm looking forward to it. I think she'd be good.
Yeah.
There was talk of Laura Benanti, who would have been excellent.
Yes.
All right. Eve Ensler has a new show out called In the Body of the World.
Say that again.
Playing off-Broadway. And it's a bit different from... People will know Eve Ensler from the Vagina Monologues. And there was another show she did that was similar to the Vagina Monologues based on interviews with other people. This is actually telling her own story in a one-woman show about her dealing with her... uterine cancer, and how that meshes with what's going on in the Congo and the mistreatment of women and people there. And she's taking a lot of heat for this because she sort of equates her cancer to what we as a society do to ourselves. And so the cancer community is not very happy about it because it's saying that we control what we do subconsciously can control our own health and cancer. And it's sort of a metaphor for eating away at our own bodies.
Yeah.
But she's not saying it metaphorically.
Right.
So that's interesting. The review is not all that good, but even after reading this review, not all that good, I would like to see it. It's directed by Diane Paulus.
Well, it starts conversation.
It does.
So.
So there you go. It is 1:26. We're going to take a little break, and we're going to come back, and we're going to talk to Jarrett Productions. We're going to go away listening to a little bit of Judas Iscariot from a little show called Jesus Christ Superstar. We'll be back.
A great show.
I remember when this whole thing...
We are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa Sheps and Nicole Shiro.
Just me. We're holding the mayo.
You're listening to us on KOOP HD1 HD3 Hornsby. We're streaming live at koop.org or .org.
.org.
You can just say .org. You don't have to say .org.
You don't.
Org it up. All right. Well, Jarrett Productions has been around now for 3 or 4 years now, right?
This is our third season.
Third season, mm-hmm. And kicking A, as they say in the biz. And we have here, we're going to talk about your production, The Father by Florian Zeller. And we have here David Jarrett, who is the artistic director of Jarrett Production is also in the show, The Father. Hi,
yes.
David. Hi, David.
Good morning.
That's what I wanted to hear. Good morning. We have Amber Quick, who's also in the show,
yes.
And a veteran of Offstage and On the Air. Hi,
yes.
Amber.
Hi. Thank you for having me back.
And you got your question right, didn't you? Or did you? You got your question
no.
wrong.
Oh, I was.
You were on the.
I was close.
You could do it.
I was right on the Wild Party. Wrong Wild Party.
And Rick Romer, who is directing this piece.
Hello.
So this show is called The Father. I like to call it The Dad.
the dad.
That would be wrong.
I was about to say papa. I call it pop.
Papa.
So tell us about the show. What is it?
This play was written by Florian Zeller in 2012. Was first produced in his native Paris.
In France.
In French? Yes, and it's the only time that it's ever been done in French. Or with French accents. It's never performed with French accents,
okay.
Even on Broadway. It was
Can
not.
You,
and
Lisa,
I'm just saying that
Lisa,
in self-defense.
That's en français.
But it does take place in Paris, though.
But it does take place in Paris.
Comment se dit father in French?
Papa.
Papa, okay. le papa.
Le père. You can also say le père.
Yes.
And it was an award-winning play in Paris when it debuted in 2012. It had its London debut in 2014, debuted in New York on Broadway in 2016, was nominated for a Tony, won a Tony for its leading man, Frank Langella. And
heard of him.
We have, yeah, he's been around.
I've okay. really heard of him.
Yeah.
He's okay.
He's pretty good for a kid. This production is just an incredible combination of wonderful artists, and I'd like to just tell you the other cast members who are not here, many of whom are brand new to Austin. and have not been seen too much, if at all.
One of them's name is Austin, so how new could he be?
Yeah, well, very. His name is Eric Austin. So obviously he had to come here at some point in his career, and we're very glad that he did. Joel Gross is also in the show, as is Lori Kovacevic and Heidi Penix, along with Amber and myself. And we have a wonderful production team led by Rick Romer. We have Lisa Gehring, who's been my production manager since the first play we did. Desi Roybal is our scene designer. This is the third show he's designed for Jarrett Productions. Chris Connard is the third show that he has designed lighting for. So that tells you something right there. We have a new costumer this time around who is relatively new to this area also. Colleen Power Griffin has done a wonderful job. So it's just a great team.
Excellent.
Great team.
Well, that's good. I do need to say that when David was saying all that stuff with the history of the play itself, he was not using notes. So there you go. We're going to take a quick tangent here. Before the show, I asked, who did I ask for the number? I asked Vega. I'm terrible with names. What number did you pick, Vega?
39.
39. Let's see what that is.
Howdy, y'all. This is Dale Watson.
I gotta go.
I'm in the bathroom. Somebody needs to use it. Howdy, y'all. This is Dale Watson, singer, songwriter, and thespian. And you're listening to Offstage and On the Air on KOOP Hornsby, Austin 91.7 FM.
I wasn't sure if there was more. Dale Watson, that may be the first time we've done that one.
I think we've only played it one other time, but it was so fitting that it was today with the awards on Tuesday. And like,
it's
that's
the Ameripolitan
Awards. Ameripolitan.com if you want to know what Dale's up to. But he is a thespian. And let's move back to David.
Yeah. So David and Amber, tell us about the roles you guys are playing.
I'm playing Anne, the father's daughter, Andre's daughter. And it's, I think... Without saying too much, one of the beautiful things about this show is the way that it's written, the writing devices that they've used that almost has this kind of multiverse feel to it. So you see,
right, it's not a linear story, is that correct?
Right, yeah. Linear, yeah. Right. And so you see many versions of Anne.
Oh, cool.
You know, so that it's just been so. On one level, it's this heartbreaking story of a girl dealing with her father's dementia, but then there are all of these other fun layers that I don't want to spoil.
Right. So, David, I assume you're playing Dad?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And in the write-up on your website, they say he's not left his house for a while. Is that correct?
Maybe.
Maybe. It says it on your website, so it can't be too much of a spoiler. It's interesting. I'm assuming that the nonlinear feel where we have a range. This isn't a dark and we're not going to come out like depressed and everything. This is we have some fun with this as well, right?
There's some very, very lighthearted comedic moments to the play, and I'll let Rick tell you more of a synopsis of it. But yes, I do play the father, and Amber is my daughter. As you may recall, last spring she was my granddaughter. This spring, she's my daughter. Eventually, right. I'll be her boyfriend.
Oh.
I'm just working my way up the food chain. Okay,
be careful, soon. David. Be careful.
Really. There's laws against that. No,
so, Rick, tell us a little bit about the plot and your approach to the script.
As David said, it is a play about, it's somewhere between dementia and Alzheimer's. It is serious, serious memory loss, but he has his physical capabilities, and it really is the impact that has on one himself, Andre, and how the fear and confusion, but also his family members, basically his daughter Anne. And I think what Amber was talking about is the way that the play is structured. You really do watch the play almost through Andre's eyes and mind. You don't just watch a play about a man with dementia. You kind of experience it in such a way where the audience is never really sure who is who, what is real and what is not real, which I find really interesting. And it's not that it's a depressing play by any means, but I mean,
that was the word I was trying to get.
Well, before. Be honestly, I mean, it's not a happy, happy topic. I mean,
no.
So there are elements that are heartbreaking, in it about watching a man's mind unravel completely and his daughter and her lover trying to figure out how to cope with it.
Right. So you guys are prepared to do a little scene, yes?
Sure.
Yes. I'll just set this up real quick. This is the first scene of the play. Andre has gone through firing a number of caretakers because he feels he doesn't need anyone to help him. And this last one, Isabel, he actually called dirty names and threatened physically. And she left running, swore she'd never come back. And he also is a man obsessed with his watch. He's obsessed with time. He needs that in order to make sure he knows where he is. And this is towards the middle of the first scene where he's just gone into a panic about losing his watch and driving his daughter insane about it. And he just now comes back in the middle of this argument about Anne trying to convince his father that she does need help.
Okay, great. So this is David Jarrett and Amber Quick doing a scene from Jarrett Productions' The Father.
You found it.
Found what?
Your watch.
Oh. Yes.
So you realize Isabel had nothing to do with it.
Only because I hid it, luckily, just in time. Otherwise, I'd be sitting here talking with you with no means of knowing what time it is. It's 5 o'clock, if you care to know. I care to know. Pardon me for living. I need to know exactly where I am during the day. I've always had this watch, you know. If I were to lose it, I'd never recover.
Have you taken your pills?
Yes, but why are you... You keep looking at me as if there was something wrong. Everything's fine, Anne. The world is turning. You've always been like that. A worrier, even when there's no reason to worry. You're like your mother. Your mother was like that, always scared, always looking for reasons to be scared. But that's not the way the world works. All right, fine. You'll tell me that there's also a kind of... that the shadows are closing in, but mostly no. You see what I'm saying? That's what you have to understand. Now, your sister, she's always been much more... much less... she doesn't keep worrying about everything. I mean, she lets me be. Where is she, by the way?
I'm going to have to move, Dad.
Move? You mean...
Live somewhere else.
Right. Why not? Sounds good.
I'm going to have to leave Paris.
Really? Why?
We talked about this. Do you remember?
Is that why you're so set on this nurse living with me? Is that the reason, Anne? Well, obviously it is. The rats are leaving the ship.
I'm not going to be here, Dad. I need you to understand that.
You're leaving? When? Why?
I've met somebody.
You?
Yes.
You mean a man?
Yes.
Really?
You needn't sound so surprised.
No, it's just that since... what was his name?
Antoine.
That's right. You have to admit, since Antoine, there hasn't been a lot of... What does he do, anyway?
He lives in London. I'm going to go and live over there.
What? You in London? No, Anne, you're not going to do that. Wake up. It never stops raining in London. Do I know him?
Yes. You've met him.
Are you sure?
Yes, Dad. Lots of times.
Oh. So, if I understand correctly, you're leaving. Is that it? You're abandoning me?
Dad...
what's going to become of me? Why can't he come and live in Paris?
He works over there.
Oh, what about your job?
I can work from home. I don't need to be in Paris.
I see.
It's important, you know? Otherwise, I wouldn't be going. I really love him. And I can still come and see you on weekends, often. But I can't leave you on your own anymore. That's why. If you refuse to have a helper, I'm going to have to...
What? What?
You have to understand, Dad.
You're going to have to what? Anne, tell me. You're going to have to what?
Oh, my. That's That's kind of haunting, I must say. So, so where you guys are opening?
We open tomorrow.
Tomorrow, and yay. Where can and how long do you play?
We play through March 4th, Thursday, Friday, Saturday evening, Sunday matinees at Trinity Street Theater, which is located inside the First Baptist Church, 901 Trinity Street.
Excellent.
And industry night this coming Monday.
Yeah.
Industry night this coming Monday, Friday. And they can get information about that where?
At www.jarrettproductions.com.
Well, thank you guys thank so you. Much for coming
thank
on the show.
Thank you.
And best of luck with the show. I hope I get to see it. We've got shows ourselves, so I don't know, but I want to. It sounds great. And hopefully, if some of you can stick around for backstage, that'd be great. If not, we'll see you next time you're on.
I have to go do chairography.
Okay.
Chairography.
I know it well.
Yes, me too.
That's why the producer gets to do.
I know it well. All right, well, thank you guys for being
thank
on the show.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
That was David Jarrett, Rick Romer, and Amber Quick of Jarrett Productions' production of The Father by Florian Zeller. Playing February 8th through March 4th at the Trinity Street Theater. For more information, jarrettproductions.com. We'll be right back. Those fathers are we are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa Sheps and Nicole Shiro. We just got finished talking to David Jarrett, Rick Romer, and Amber Quick. And now we're going to switch gears and we're going to talk a little bit about... Oh, my gosh.
I was switching the gears.
You were slamming on the brakes.
I was. It's good brakes.
Those are good brakes. Just to talk local stuff for just a little second, and then we'll get into today in theater history.
Local.
I just want to tell everybody about, if you don't, that's our local theme song. How was that again?
Local.
The Unified Auditions are the 11th.
Are they unified?
They are unified at the Vortex Theater. So if you are a performer or you need to find performers, you can go to, I didn't write the website, but it's the ACA, Austin Creative Alliance, will have the information about the Unified Auditions.
I was
auditions.
Like, they're on Now Playing Austin. They're on
they're
both sides.
Also on Now Playing Austin.
They're everywhere.
Which is, I printed it out, but I didn't, it's not here. And also, just a reminder that Frontera Fest is still going on. Either of you have anything in Frontera Fest?
No. Yeah.
No. Okay, well, Susan, who was helping Kim Simpson on the International Folk Bazaar, did have a thing at Frontera Fest.
That is kind of exciting.
Yeah, so let's just jump right into Today in Theater History.
Today?
Today.
In Theater History?
Theater History.
No!
Tis true.
Da, so, da, 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 da.
I was just having a conversation with somebody yesterday or
you
the day
chatted?
Before. I was chatting about Charles Dickens and how much they did not like Charles Dickens.
You love the Charles Dickens.
Because Charles Dickens uses too much description. And I
was like, that's...
I went, that's crazy. That's great. That's what makes Charles Dickens wonderful.
Yeah.
It is his birthday today.
Bon anniversaire. Bon anniversaire. Mr. Dickens, happy birthday to
you. He's done shows like A Christmas Carol.
Yes, the original manuscript is at the J.P. Morgan Library. J.P. Morgan's old mansion down in Manhattan.
He's done cool. The Life and Adventures of Nicholas Nickleby, which
he
is
has.
On Broadway. It is a two-show quintella,
yes,
whatever.
Yes.
The Mystery of Edwin Drood.
The Mystery!
And he is known to want some more.
Please, sir, may I have some more?
Porridge? Is that what you want?
So he also did Oliver. He was born, extra points if y'all know what year he was born. I will tell you this, it was in the 19th century at some point. Anybody?
You really want me just to guess a year within that 100 years?
No, you can if you want. I know it. It's 1812.
Oh, I was only off by a few years. That's kind of
you
funny.
You didn't say anything,
I didn't,
so you
know,
can't
because
prove
I was
it.
In my head still
I think
doing
there
math.
Was a war going on.
No time.
There was a war. I believe there's also an overture. In a mere 71 years later, UB Blake was born.
Interesting.
And his scores things like Shuffle Along and Leslie's Blackbird and Swing It. And of course, he had he was shown on Broadway last season or the season before with Shuffle Along, the making of the musical sensation of 1921, and all that followed.
Interesting. And you know what? And I forgot to... Did you end up seeing... There was that movie that recently came out about Dickens and him writing A Christmas Carol.
No, I didn't.
Yes.
Oh, I should look it out.
You should look it up.
Okay. In 1950... 57, the year before I was born.
57.
Cyril Richard played a strange visitor to a Virginia clone home who claims to be an alien passing judgment on Earth. And that was Gore Vidal's visit to a small planet.
Oh.
It was at the Booth Theater, one of my favorite theaters.
Yes.
And he... 52. That happened in 1957.
Wow. 57, okay. But still, okay.
And 1980... Janet Gaynor made her Broadway debut in Harold and Maude.
Hmm. 80. Wow.
Okay. And then in 2002, a mere 22 years later, Kevin Bacon made his Broadway debut in An Almost Holy Picture.
Is it really that
late?
Oh,
it doesn't say that was his debut. That may not be his debut.
I was like, I didn't think that was his debut.
You're
that's why I'm
right.
Like, it was really that late? Mm.
In 2012, on this date, was the revival of Masterclass. Biographical drama by Terrence McNally, starring, do you remember who it starred?
Was this
as Maria Callas?
Was this an Audra McDonald one?
I can't tell you, but her name rhymes with Bine Bailey. Tyne Daly.
I know you're gonna have me laugh. So I was like, Bine Daly.
Some of the other birthdays: Edie Bracken. I do not know who this is, but I need to say the name: Pete Postlethwaite.
Oh, why do I know him?
I don't know.
Oh my gosh, I know who he is. But yes, it's a great name. Why do
and
I know him?
It's also the birthday of Eddie Izzard or Izzard, however you want to pronounce it.
Oh, I love him.
I love Eddie Izzard.
Locally, it is the birthday of Michael Miller. Happy birthday, Michael.
Well, Michael just moved.
Yep. Yeah. Tomorrow is Tim O'Brien, and Friday is Frank Binge. And Brian Miller.
Frank.
Happy birthday to you all. Mm-hmm. All right, we're going to take a little break, and we're going to come back and talk to the good folks.
When I see Pete, I know exactly who he is. So do you. You'll be like, yeah.
Well, now you have to. We were wrapping up, but now we have to know. So who is it?
Well, he was in your version of Romeo and Juliet you love so much, but Dragonheart, Armistead, The Constant Gardener, Clash of the Titans, and you see his
so he's a film actor.
No, I mean, that's just at the top because I can't read this. No, he's hardcore, a lot of stuff.
All right, well, that's cool. He was born in 1946, so he's not a youngster.
Mm-mm.
Okay, well, we will be right back, and we're going to listen to a little bit of The Mystery of Edwin Drood.
Don't try to think.
We are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa and Nicole. We are now going to talk to Miss Dolce Dream and Miss Ara Vega of the Bat City Bombshells.
Hello,
hi,
hello,
ladies.
Hello.
Hi. Hello.
Thanks for having us.
We are so thrilled to have you on here. Y'all are here to talk about the 10th annual Anti-Valentine's Day show, but tell us a little bit about the Bat City Bombshells in general.
Well, the Bat City Bombshells has been a troupe in Austin since 2008, but we had our very first show in 2009, which was the very first anti-Valentine's Day show.
Okay.
So we're an eclectic mix of ladies and gentlemen. We started out as hobbyists, believe it or not, and one day we decided, hey, we want to do this a little bit better. We want to see if we can go farther with this. And it developed from a bunch of hobbyists to career performers now, several of which have gone on to perform around the world, all over the U.S., amongst other things.
So what type of troupe is this?
It is a burlesque troupe. Okay. Should have clarified that.
Yeah,
that would be the key there.
Burlesque is having a huge resurgence over the past 10 years or so. It's great. So y'all have gone from and in 10 years isn't very long to go from a bunch of hobbyists to career people.
Yes.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. It's been a whirlwind, a glittery whirlwind.
I like that.
What sets you guys apart? What makes you, do you do any, is there something that sets you apart from the other burlesque troupes out there?
Well, we, as I mentioned, we're an eclectic mix of people, and so are the styles that each of us bring. Mm-hmm. We have people who are very focused on the costuming, telling the story. Myself, for example, I'm just a storyteller, and so my performances tend to tell a story. And then there are people who are very choreography-oriented, and their dance is what's telling the story, or giving you the tease, as it were. But we are a blend of everything from classical to neo to nerdy, to raunchy, to bump and grind, and everything in between.
So,
I like that. Yeah, me too.
So, Vega, you describe yourself as a storyteller. Dolce, how would you describe your performance?
So I'm actually the MC for the Bat City Bombshells, but I actually just started doing a performance in burlesque fairly recently. My type of performance, well, as the MC, just to make sure that the whole show bloody stays together, right? Doesn't fall apart, the seams, and keep it moving, keep people entertained. But now that I'm venturing into this type of performance art, performing dance, my type of pieces, I just try to reflect on my repertoire of dance that I grew up with, Caribbean, Afro-Caribbean, salsa, merengue, and the foundations that I got being a dancer from UT. So that's how I try to bring
so you're
in.
A dancer from UT, meaning the University of Texas?
Yes, go okay. Longhorns.
I was just I'm trying to figure out what part of the world UT is in.
Yeah.
And even as I say this out loud, I'm still trying to figure out what part of the world.
Well, they're in the news today. Today was they're getting their players. They got 27 new little guys. And they're everywhere today. It's breaking news.
So UT has a...
Football. It's that time of year where you get your new
Well, we're talking
players.
About burlesque.
Yeah, yeah.
So let's keep doing that.
Yeah. UT. UT, UT.
Well, and oddly enough, UT is not just a football team. There are other schools within that school that, like, there's a school of theater there.
I know. I'm just saying they're in the news all over right now. Mm. The breaking news.
So, so talk about the anti-Valentine's Day performance. What is it? It sounds like we're going to be. If I were to guess, I'm going to say you're ragging on Valentine's Day.
It started out that way when we were, again, when we started out as a group of hobbyist performers. It was just kind of this concept of, we don't really like these commercialized holidays, especially because, you know, we like to think that we celebrate love and lust all year long.
Keep Austin weird. Keep Austin weird.
And so it was just, a lot of us at the time had this sentiment of, meh, we're not going to do the corporate thing. Come have fun with us and get a little raunchy and forget any of your woes if you have any.
And I think a lot of people get the illusion that, anti-Valentine, can't bring my significant other, this is just for single people. But no, it's actually, we've been finding over the years that a lot of couples do end up coming to the shows with us, and they love it, you know, and they get to see an aspect of this performance art and get a little bit of glitter on them and...
So you're not dissing the idea of love and attachment. You're just dissing the idea of the Hallmark version of this holiday.
Correct. Yeah, no
the
sweet talks.
Card version.
Yeah.
And
we
we've
don't do
been
sweet
told
talks.
That several babies have been born as
from
a
our
direct
shows,
result
yeah.
of our show. Yeah. So there we like go. To encourage yeah. that.
Well, yeah. those are my fellow October babies.
Yeah, yes. yeah. But we've actually seen couples leave, not because the show was horrible,
but
they
good.
Got in the moment. The heat, yeah, and we need to take it outside.
That's
so what so within the performances I'm assuming you have your repertoire changes based on the performance. So what kind of performances would I see in an anti-Valentine's Day
so show? My piece is based on being an immigrant to this country, how I want to love being an American, but especially with the person who is in charge right now, how you don't feel much love back from your country. So that's my anti-Valentine, how I want to love America. I feel like I'm American, been in this country for a long time, but right now you don't feel that love back from your country. So my whole piece is based on that.
I hear you. And Dolce, what's your story going to be? This is on the 17th, correct?
She had a big smile when you said that.
So one of the words I can't use on air, apparently. So I'll just give you the abbreviated version of my act. It's a DDGAF, and you can imagine what that might mean. But basically, my performance has came from this idea of feeling liberated and being able to open up my own heart more because I literally do not give any more Fs.
Oh, got it.
Yes.
Well, that is awesome. So the show is on the 17th. Where is it?
It is at Come and Take It Live.
Formerly
which is
known as Grizzly Hall.
A lot of people still know it as the Grizzly Hall, but it is now called Come and Take It Live. So if you Google that, you'll find it. It's on East Riverside.
Okay. And where can folks go to get more information?
BatCityBombshells.com. We're also on the Facebooks and the Instagrams.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Well, and on the website, you can see pictures of Dolce and Amber and everybody, all the other performers. So that's always sort of good to see. I love the website. It's so much fun.
Thank you.
Well, thank you guys so much for being on the show.
Thank you for having us.
Can you stick around and join us backstage?
We got to go to Muggle Jobs.
Go to Muggle. Yeah, okay. Sorry. Well, thank you.
I love that you just said that, though.
Well, thank you guys so much for being on the show.
Thank you for having us.
Best of luck with the performance.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Right, that was Miss Dolce Dream and Miss Aura Vega of the Bat City Bombshells and their show, the 10th anniversary anti-Valentine's Day show at the Come and Take It Live on February 17th. For more information, batcitybombshells.com. And of course, I had to play this. I didn't want to play Gypsy, because it was the obvious choice, but
it's one of the greatest moments in the show.
Absolutely.
Like one of the founding.
It's a great.
Yeah, yeah. Gypsy Rose Lee. And so Gypsy Rose Lee, we talked about her earlier in the show, too.
That is funny. You opened and closed with her. Yeah. Who knew?
So we've done another hour. We're done. And it was so nice to be back in the studio with you.
It's nice to be back in the studio with you, too.
Okay, remember to like us on Facebook, tweet us on Twitter, stitch us on Stitcher. We can send this thing right to you if you want.
Yes, go to offstageonair.com, enter your name in the mailbox, and click, we'll be right. You'll just appear once a week. Voila.
Austin Monitor News is next. There'll be a very abbreviated backstage today because it's just going to be Nicole and I. So stick around for that if you're listening on the podcast. And keeping with the cold and winter theme.
Yes.
We're going to hear a little bit from The Secret Garden. This is Winter's on
the Wing. I love this too.
Winter's on the wing, here's a fine spring morn. Coming clean through the night, come on, may I see. Winter's taking flight, sweeping dark cold air out to sea. Spring is born, comes the day I say, and you'll be here.
The curtain has just come down on I'm So Lonely, the musical. The story of two people that wanted people to join them backstage, but nobody would. So they're left all by themselves, standing alone, each in their own puddle of unnamed liquid by the dumpsters.
Womp, womp.
Womp, womp. Chum, chum.
I'm so lonely.
So first of all, I was hoping that one of the women would stay from the burlesque company, Bat City Bombshells, because she said that she would just give these initials and that we would know what it is.
No, and I don't because...
And I don't either.
Because it didn't even have a T in there and she was asking us about the T word.
About
and like,
tits. We can say it here.
We can say tits. So now I was like, wait a minute.
Yeah, what is it?
The initial didn't even have a T.
So I was hoping to get them here and say, all right, what is it? And then...
I think there was an F in there.
No, she did say F later, and I knew what the F is. She says, I don't give an F, and I knew what that meant. But those, she said, I'll just say the initials, DD blah, blah, blah. I think you know what I mean. And
yeah,
I didn't.
Yeah, I didn't either.
Well, maybe they'll listen to this and email me at lisa@offstageonair.com and tell me what it is.
No, but we did have someone listening and tell us about Yada.
We did. So, yeah. I totally did not get her name, and I am so sorry. A woman who lives in New York, either lived or lives in New York, very close to
Saratoga.
And we chatted for a while. She said she's been going to Broadway since 1967, 2 years before me. So she's of a certain age, an age that we like. But she said that the reason why it's called Yaddo is that the person that started it came there with his family in this home. And you have the name of that person, right?
It's Spencer Trask and his wife, Katrina Trask.
Spencer and Katrina and their children came up and looked at this place. And evidently the trees were casting a lot of shadows. And the child couldn't say the word shadow. And he kept saying, Yaddo, Yaddo. Does it say it right there?
It says it in the Wikipedia.
Read the Wikipedia. Read it.
The estate was purchased in 1881 by the financier Spencer Trask and his wife, the writer Katrina Trask. The first mansion on the property burnt down in 1893, and the Trasks then built the current house. Yaddo is a neologism invented by one of the Trask children and was meant to rhyme with Shadow.
You know who knows?
Dun, 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 our listener from New York.
No, the shadow knows.
Oh, the Shadow knows. Hello. So the actual formation was in 1926. And here's the purpose. The quote is, to nurture the creative process by providing an opportunity for artists to work without interruption in a supportive environment.
Excellent. So everybody look up the Wikipedia, YADDO.
Y-A-D-D-O. It's a double D.
Y-A-D-D-O. So it is not an acronym, as it turns out.
No, and it is actually a National Historic Landmark. Some of it is open to the public. Some of it is private. That's why I was saying the gardens are beautiful. So you can see some of it publicly.
Next time I get up to Saratoga, I wish I knew.
Saratoga is a beautiful place.
I've been in the area lots, but not
when David Hyde Pierce is from Saratoga.
And there you go. That's what makes it. That's what makes it special. So what do we want to talk about here backstage for just you and me?
I don't know. I love that someone called in about YADDO.
I do too.
That actually is just so exciting.
And shout out to her. I wish I had gotten her name because she said
too.
She said she was a fan of the show, which just gives me goosebumps.
Oh,
I have to say that.
That makes me more excited. I'm giving you a jazz hand.
Yeah, jazz hand person calling.
Jazz hand for our YADDO fan.
Call her. I wish she had. She may have even said her name, but you know me and my memory. So I'm going to take a moment here and do a little log rolling, as they say, since we can. Ground Floor Theater, I'm very excited to tell everybody. First of all, right now, it's opening on Thursday is Acrocats. You really want to go see the Acrocats. We have they have a 45-foot bus that they pulled up, and in that 45-foot bus is two people that lives in there, but also 19 cats, a groundhog, and a chicken.
Okay, wait a minute. I'm just still taking this all in by the size of the bus. And then, like, I was still like, that's a lot for the bus. And then you just kept going on about how many cats and a groundhog and a chicken.
And yeah, so we walked through there, and indeed, there are a bunch of cats and a groundhog and a chicken. And so that's it. That opens this Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Two shows on Saturday, two shows on Sunday. You can get more information at groundfloortheater.org.
That's kind of amazing on so many levels. I'm still sitting over here just like, amazing.
But in March, we're also thrilled to announce that we are doing a production of White Rabbit, Red Rabbit.
Say that again 30 times really quick.
I can't. White Rabbit, Red Rabbit, White Rabbit, Red Rabbit, Yellow River, Red Rabbit.
Skedaddle-y-doo.
So it's by Nassim Salamanpour, an Iranian playwright, and there's no director, there's no set, there is a different actor that performs it every night. They are seeing the script for the first time when they get on stage. So it's very, very, very exciting. I saw it in New York. You do not want to miss it. Groundfloortheater.org. Tickets will be available on our site probably in about a week. Yeah, and we have an incredible cast. We have Owen Edgerton, we have Mark Puhay, Rebecca Havermeyer, who's a frequent guest on Outkast here at the radio station. We have Karen Jambone, a frequent guest on Offstage and on the Air. Michael Furstenfeld. I mean, there's a great cast. So you don't want to miss this. It's so much fun. White Rabbit, Red Rabbit.
Oh, see it again.
And I saw it the second to last show in New York.
Yeah, who did you see in it?
I can't remember. He was a star of some sci-fi show that a lot of people know, but I didn't, and I can't even remember.
Oh,
the
we
name
should
of
go
it.
Back to Peter, who we couldn't figure out what was going on. Peter was his all started in English. His birthday, Peter
who?
Birthday.
Oh.
Petrov.
Okay.
He was a very esteemed Royal Shakespearean actor before all the movies and stuff like that.
So he did a bunch of movies, and he
studied with the Bill Nighys, and they were all like classmates, that whole group of very talented folk.
So last Sunday, there was a football game on television. I did not see it.
One bowl, that was super.
But there was one Justin Timberlake.
Yeah.
Did the halftime show. I've not seen any of this, but Leslie Odom Jr. sang America the Beautiful.
Yes, he did.
And
The Pink.
And Pink sang the anthem?
National anthem.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. With the flu.
That's what I heard. Mm-hmm. And I hear that it's available
Leslie
on the internet.
Rocked it.
Rocked America the Beautiful.
My brother turned around and goes, love this guy.
Why did you roll your eyes when we said Justin Timberlake? Did you not enjoy his performance?
No, actually, I think everybody is so giving him like, it was an performance.
I guess in some senses it was, but here's the thing. I think we're all used to people flying and special effects. This guy sang and danced.
Right.
And from one end of the stadium to the other, which people don't do anymore, and no one sings and everybody auto-tunes, and I'm like, can we just stop and look at the simplicity that wasn't so simple right. and be impressed by that? And that makes me angry that they yep. didn't see that. But I also rolled my eyes because whatever Stella McCartney gave him to wear, like I text my cousin 10 minutes. I said, this has been going on for 10 minutes and I can't believe you haven't texted me. What the hell is he wearing?
What was it? I didn't see
Man
it.
Man of
so
the
much.
Woods needs to go back to the woods. It was a really, he had multiple jackets, but it was a really awful, awful pair of camel looking like abstract art suit with this awful moose shirt. And I mean, I like moose shirts, but like all together with the bandana, it was bad.
Mm.
It was really bad.
Oh my gosh. So the other thing we did not get to talk about on the terrestrial radio show that you had actually put in the folder, which I was surprised to see.
I was like, I put Satan in. I didn't put Satan.
You put Satan in there.
I put what lights my fire. He's not Satan.
Yeah, so Springsteen.
Tom Brady's Satan. He's not, sorry.
Springsteen, I'm trying to remember. I don't have the paper in front of me. What he's
he
going,
is going
He's doing a performance for.
You're
going
to be able to stream an act. He's doing an actual performance for Sirius Radio.
Oh, right.
So for Bruce on Broadway.
Right, but specific Springsteen on Broadway.
Yes, sorry.
Specifically, so is it audio only?
No, I think, hold on. I had just closed the date because I think it's like March 14th.
I know it's for Sirius customers, but when I read it, it said Sirius customers and Sirius people that listen to the Springsteen channel on Sirius.
It's the E Street radio channel.
Right.
He has his own channel. So I don't know how it says selected audience of the E Street radio channel. So I don't know.
Maybe they're giving tickets away and bringing them
to
New York.
Oh, here we go. Fans of the E Street radio have an opportunity to attend the intimate performance, which blah, 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 blah. It's going to be on March 14th. I guess you... Oh.
So they actually come to New York and see it.
And they're actually doing a pre-show, too.
Cool.
Beforehand. So subscribers have the opportunity to win tickets through giveaways on E Street Radio and through an invitation sent by email. Any subscriber since January 23rd, 2018 will be able to enter. So that's pretty cool.
There you go. So
for more information, SiriusXM.com/Springsteen.
Springsteen.
If you're interested in finding out what it is. But I thought that was a cool way. Like, I got to, you know, how I met David Bowie. My lucky thing was David Bowie was a really big proponent back in the days when internet was just coming out and digital music and all of that. And he had a special, the fans that were like the super fans of his fan club on this special website he created, he held a whole contest for them and did a private concert. It was like 3,000 people at the Roseland Ballroom in New York. And it was very, and when I saw this, I think that's why I was like, I will put you on here, Bruce, because that was a very special moment. And this will be a special moment for someone else, not me.
Nope. Well, you can still appreciate the music in the concert. You're angry because they're calling it a Broadway show.
Spruce on, yes.
Yeah. So
I'm not mad at what he's doing. I think it's so cool.
Yeah. Well, anyway, but that horse is dead, but it's good that he's doing that. I think it's lovely that you
got, with a hard ticket like that to sell that he's
yeah,
doing
you cannot
it.
Get those tickets.
No, I think it's really cool that
the Today on Broadway podcast that I listen to. Oh, I do have one other thing to talk about. But the Today on Broadway podcast I listen to, one of the guys, James Marino, has been trying to get tickets since long before it opened. He cannot, and he's like, he's a Broadway. He gets free tickets to everything. I forgot to mention
extended.
That. Well, it's selling out. Why not? Michael Furstenfeld does a podcast.
Yes, he does.
And it just came out, and it features Jenny Lavery from Austin Creative Alliance talking specifically about the Unified Auditions. And
you want it too? This one, I know it was going.
I'm on it. I believe I'm on the next week.
Done.
But
this is
specifically about the Unified Auditions. And I'm going to try to take a moment to find the name of the podcast because it's in my podcast feed. It is called, it's Episode 9, Life, the Unified Auditions and Everything. And the name, he doesn't say what the name of his podcast is.
Oh, wait, it's a really funny name. And
yeah, that's so odd. It does not have the name of his podcast, and I cannot remember it.
I can pull it up real quick if you want. I have it in an email.
It's all right. But it's Make Every Media.
Thank you.
So that you can find information at makeeverymedia.com. But that's Michael Furstenfeld, and he does a lovely job with this interview with Jenny Lavery. And look for an interview with me in a week or two, I think. So I guess
that's exciting.
Anything else you want to talk to our backstage people about before we mosey back into the theater?
Well, it's like TV, but it's a Broadway guy. Well, I mean, he's a TV guy from Glee and then went to Broadway. But are you watching the Versace? How do you like your Darren Criss on the TV? I thought you always were a fan of him, so I was wondering.
No, I've not been a huge fan of Darren
Criss.
I've never been
a big fan, but I mean, thought I'm not, you were, so that's
no,
why I was
I'm
asking.
not a fan of him, but it's like I'm so not interested in Versace and that story, so I didn't watch it.
No, that's okay.
Have you watched it?
I've watched 2 episodes. It's actually really good.
Yeah. I saw the trailer. It looks good.
It's such a sad story. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just so sad on so many different levels. No, and it's funny because Casey, who doesn't like, he was like, oh, I'll watch the opening of this. And he's like, I can't believe I just sat here and watched those 2 episodes. He's like, that Ryan Murphy. I was like, I know.
Ryan Murphy's pretty incredible.
He goes all in.
Yep. Well, okay, so that's going to be it for Backstage at Offstage. We're going to go back into the theater and get some work done. We're going
to
like...
I have School of Rock stuck in my head. I'm counting down to School of Rock.
School of Rock next week. We'll have an interview with the guy that plays Dewey. Rob Canetti plays Dewey at School of Rock next week, so tune in.
But that's all that's the theme song of my life these days.
There it is, School of Rock. Austin.Broadway.com. They open on Tuesday. They play through the weekend. So that's it. Adios.
Ciao.
Ciao, Alessio.